Welcome to See Beneath Your Beautiful, where guests share stories of adversity and perseverance, which inspire, encourage, and challenge us. We embrace these tough conversations, intimately exploring our loves, fears, and hopes with a delicious combination of depth and lightness.
So, this is what I call the 30-second elevator speech. I have been interested in what's beyond what we see since I was 9. Read a book called The Witch Family by Eleanor Estes and said, oh, there's magic in the world. I want to go find it. My path to be an intuitive counselor has always been there. Got my first tarot deck when I was a senior in high school in 1973. And yeah, that kind of tells you how old I am. But the other stuff, the difficulties are what makes me a good counselor, not just the tools I have, but what I've gone through. Mother was an alcoholic, cross-addicted with barbiturates, very physically and emotionally abusive. Her treatment of me led me to think that I was only worth what I looked like. And from the age of 11, I had a Dolly Parton figure with a brunette wig. That is not easy. So always treating myself very badly, figuring that I had no right to say no to anything, that I was only worth what I looked like, etc. That led me to two very short marriages. The first one, the first day he threw me against a wall, I left. Second one, he just decided he didn't want to be married and left me in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm not a magnolia, I'm a bagel. I need to be in New York. So we've done poverty. The first husband and I lived at 42nd and Osage in Philly, which had hot and cold running roaches and was known as Rape Central. I have been raped, abuse, you name it. I've gone through it, including three bouts of breast cancer. The last one happened a year and a half after I finally married the right guy. It was the second primary, but the doctor said, three strikes, you're out. We're taking the rack. We're taking your ovaries to cut your estrogen, and you're going from this Dolly Parton figure to a fat fire plug with such permanent side effects. Sexually, you'll be on the shelf for the rest of your life. Suck it up.
Wow.
What saved me was the examined life, knowing the idea of stimulus belief response.
Yeah.
My husband and I are celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary this year. The right husband.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah.
So you can get through it. But what it did is it gave me a real good idea of what people go through. So nobody can come to me and say, you don't understand. I will say, been there, done that. And I'm not special. I got through it, so can you.
Okay. I'm going to ask you lots of questions, but you didn't say your name.
Oh, hi guys. I'm Corby Mitlide. It is a chosen name. Corby is Gaelic for ravens. Those are my favorite birds. And Mitlide is German for compassion. Reminds me why I do the work I do.
So you said that you were going to go from a Dolly Parton body to, what did you say?
A fat fire plug with permanent side effects.
And the examined life saved you. So what does that mean?
The examined life is like this. Something is happening. It's really sucky and I don't want it to happen, but I can't escape it.
Yeah.
So the first thing you need to look at is, what am I going to learn from it? My second one, because of who I am, is how can I teach with it? And then the next thing is next. You don't stay stuck in your story.
Right.
I mean, that was 2004. I've been clean for 18 years. This is who I am. I do not introduce myself as, hi, I'm Corby and I'm a breast cancer survivor for several reasons. Number one, I am not a survivor because I do more than hang on by teeth and toenails. I am a cancer dancer. I found out how graceful I could be under pressure, avoided getting my toes stepped on, and got off the dance floor in one piece.
I love that.
And the thing about we can't stay stuck in our stories, I know women that have, you know, 15 years ago, they had stomach cancer and they say, hi, my name is Mary Sue and I'm a stomach cancer survivor. That's like my saying, hi, in 1973, I was the Betty Crocker homemaker of tomorrow for New Jersey, which I was, but I've gone past it.
Yeah.
So who are you today?
My story keeps changing. Not only am I not the person I was 5 years ago, I'm not the person I was last week.
What doesn't change dies. That's the rule of nature. So change is our friend.
Right.
do we run toward it or run away from it? If we run away from it, kids, it's going to trip you anyway. If you run toward it, you are in more control of the situation.
Are you a psychic medium?
Full-time professional for 20 years, certified tarot master, past life expert, psychic medium and channel. I work 6 days a week. I read 1,000 people a year, and I get to get up in the morning. I don't have to get up in the morning. That's really key.
And you've written some books.
For me, words are my drug of choice. Mm-hmm. The first one that I wrote is called Clean Out Your Life Closet. It's a self-help book, but I mean, I'll give $50 cold cash to the first person who can tell me legitimately they have never read a self-help book ever, as we all have.
Yeah.
But self-help books can be very damaging because it's like, we know what you should do and you have to do it or you're wrong. I remember the first self-help book I got at age 13 in 1968, and I still remember the first paragraph. Judy has a groovy wardrobe. She has fab makeup and her hair is far out. But nobody likes Judy because Judy's fat. One paragraph takes this impressionable teenager and says, you are worthless, yeah, except for what you look like and how other people judge you. That's the damage it does.
I believe that too.
So the book is basically, it goes through four things: clarity, adaptability, simplicity, and making friends with stress. But each chapter is, here's some of the dumb things I did. Sometimes here is a client story. And then it's, here's some ideas about what might work for you. But at the end of each chapter, I ask you questions that only you can answer. You can't turn to page 82. The chapter, Why Perfect Isn't What You Think It Is. Has perfect been a friend or foe in your life? Why? When did the search for perfection stop you from doing something important? How so? Think of a challenging situation and find three perfect things about it. How do your feelings about the situation change? So you learn deeply that you are your own best expert. Mm-hmm. Not me, you. Mm-hmm. So it's an empowering book.
That takes a long time.
Oh, God, yes.
That takes a long time to believe that you have the answers within you.
It's my mantra. I'm not special. You can do what I do. Mm-hmm. The other two are books about psychic stuff. Mm-hmm. The first one I wrote was called The Psychic Yellow Brick Road. How to find the real wizards and avoid the flying monkeys. The idea is you may love psychic stuff, but you don't want to learn to be a psychic. Like you go to an art museum and you love sculpture. You don't want to come home with a chisel and a block of marble. So it teaches you how to stay safe, how to find a good psychic, what questions to ask, which ones don't, what we can do.
Yeah.
And the last one is called You've Got the Magic Who Needs a Genie. And that is specifically my A-lister's guide to being on the Holistic Expo circuit. My nickname used to be the Travel Channel because I was 45 weekends on the road, 45,000 miles on the car. Mm-hmm. But 3 years ago, back injury, the universe said, you're staying planted at home. Mm-hmm. But I have all this knowledge. Why would I not give it away?
I love that.
My books are always nonfiction. It's here's what I've learned. Here, go and have a good life. Let me pass it on.
You read a book when you were younger that talked about this, but when did you know you had a gift?
Psychic gift or writing gift?
Psychic gift is what I was going for, but I would like to know also about the writing gift.
The psychic gift is when I was 9 and I read that book, The Witch Family. It didn't scare me. I didn't laugh. It was like somebody showed me, you got to find a door because you have a key. Go look. Mm-hmm. And I always saw things differently than most of my peers, which is why I didn't have a lot of friends as a kid. The writing bug came from my father. He was my best friend. He and I shared a birthday.
Oh, cool. I was one day away from my dad's birthday.
I was his 34th birthday present. And for my first 4 years, I thought I came in a box with ribbons. Who knew? But Dad loved words, mm-hmm. loved them. And he was the one that taught me, write something every day, even if it's just a paragraph. Mm-hmm. He actually wrote some gorgeous poetry that was published after his death, mostly for my stepmother, Shirley, who he married after my mother died in 84. So I know that between the psychic work and the ability to put ideas across on a page, on a podcast, that I am a teacher. I've got things to pass on. If they're useful to you, fabulous. If they're not, toss them. But this way, my being here will have made a difference. That's what I want.
Do you think everybody has a purpose like that? That everybody needs to make a difference or is?
Sure, but it might just be to one person.
Right. When I was a single mom with two little girls that I couldn't focus beyond the walls of the house, they were all I could think about. It's all I could do. I couldn't go change the world. I was making a difference in their lives. So that could be the difference I was making.
I really am glad to hear you say that. Not everybody needs to go out in the world and be famous. If you raise spectacular kids, you may have changed the world by giving them the strength, the self-reliance, the joy in reaching out and finding out what else is out there. I was crushed by my mother. I got where I am despite her. Your kids will get there because of you. That's huge.
Why was your mom holding you down? What was that about?
She was an alcoholic, cross-addicted with barbiturates. There was a lot of self-loathing, and there was this daughter with a gorgeous figure. My father was a genius, and my mother always felt inadequate with him. When she realized that her two children had inherited his genius, she felt isolated in her inadequacy.
I see.
And so she wanted to love us, but she couldn't.
And have you forgiven your mother?
Oh, long ago, because she and I made this agreement before either of us got down here that I might need these things to become a fabulous teacher. And so it was part of our pre-birth planning agreement.
I really like that.
There are a couple of things that I want to talk about. One of them is the most important questions you can ever ask yourself. What am I X about? X is whatever emotion you're feeling. Why am I X about that? And the magic question we never ask ourselves, what do I think would happen if I stopped being X about that? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go back to my finding out that I was going to have a double mastectomy. What was I upset about? I was having a mastectomy. Why was I upset? Because my entire identity had been wrapped up in the wrap. And I knew my husband found me gorgeous with that. So what was it going to be?
Yeah.
But then it was, what do I think would happen if I stopped being upset? Well, I might be able to get through this. And I knew that one of the things I needed to do was find three reasons to be okay with it. I didn't care how dumb they were. The first one was, you don't have them. You can't get cancer there. The second thing, they wouldn't get slammed in the refrigerator door at the doctor's every year. And every woman listening knows what I'm talking about. Third, implants. I'll be perky till I'm 93. Okay.
Exactly.
I got out of Mass General in 3 days, shopped for a bathing suit in 5. It's 18 years. Am I a plump, grandmotherly looking person? Yeah, I am. But I'm here. I'm whole. I'm healthy.
Yeah.
Carl's response when we told him what was going to happen is, he said, am I going to miss them? Oh, yeah, they were gorgeous, but I married you, not them.
Byron Katie says, who would you be without that thought? If you could think it in a different way, your whole life changes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I also love the idea of the happy Martian detective.
What's that?
You and I were sitting across from each other and water might be coming out of your eyes. And I might say, why are you crying? But I could be wrong. Gleeble, the Martian who was assigned to go and investigate humanity, jumps out of his little saucer and toddles over to you and with great glee says, why is there water coming from your eyes? And he might get a better answer. Because maybe you have allergies, or maybe your contact lenses are bugging you, or maybe there's an emotional basis. So whenever we ask a question completely ready for any answer at all, we're better off. And the example I give, there was a guy who was married with a daughter. He was in a terrible car accident. They fixed him up, but his face kind of looked like spin art. It was really awful. He was terribly embarrassed, always walked around kind of hunched, thinking everybody thinks I'm ugly, but still married with his kid. One night he was putting her to bed and she grabbed his face and she smushed it next to hers. And she said, this would be a great picture, but it would be better if mommy's face were in the picture. Now, old him would have thought, even my daughter thinks I'm hideous, and then you have decades of PTSD. Instead, he felt like a Martian and looked at her and said, why would it be better if mommy's face were in the picture? And she looks at him and says, because mommy can't hold the camera still and you take good pictures. One question, that's all you need to totally change your life.
I question everything because you don't know. And sometimes you don't even know your own intentions. Don't you find that? Like you do something and you're like, why did I do that? And so how can you assume you know what anybody else is doing on purpose?
Pearl and I have been together 22 years, but there are still times when we misconstrue what the other one is doing. We have to ask to totally understand it. But that's one of the important parts of a marriage. It's always a work in progress.
And being unoffendable is really a beautiful thing. You can ask him, what do you mean? And not going to take offense, not ready to pounce. Just, what do you mean? So I am clear.
Yes. You make it about the challenge, not personal sniping. For instance, we really don't have enough closet space. Can we work on this instead of, you're a closet pig and my stuff's on the floor? Which one do you think is going to get a better response? Hello.
That's funny. Yeah, we have a closet issue. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he doesn't like his tiny little section. Mine just keeps overflowing. I'm asking this, and it's okay if you say no, but can you do a tarot reading on this or no?
Piece of cake. If you walked into my office, I'd sit you down, and the first thing I'd say is, what is the most important thing you want to get out of here knowing? So I know what you want to concentrate on. Or as they say in Brooklyn, darling, what's biting your butt?
Okay. Well, I'm about to start a new venture. I'm creating a magazine. And what's that look like?
That's easy. That's an entrepreneur spread. A card for you. Card for the energy around the business, the brick and mortar location, how to market it, clients, competition. You're going to have staff?
Not at the moment.
Finances, what you need to know, and best possible outcome.
Okay.
I do drill down readings. It's not three cards, wait until October and fire the redhead. Energy around you. It's the Four of Wands, which is a happy relocation card. You are moving into something that is delicious. Energy around the enterprise. Honey, it's the Prince of Wands. It's going to happen faster than you think. Put on your seatbelt.
Yeah, I think that too is true.
Brick and mortar location could also be whether it's online or paper or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the Eight of Pentacles, notice that he is pouring gold into a mold and what doesn't fit spills on the ground. Decide what will be the best avenue for it. Don't try, I want to do it online and I want to do it in print and. Choose one, focus there.
Okay.
How to market it? Three of Cups. Your magazine is going to show us where the joy is in our lives that people forget. And that's what you push it with. Your clients are people in the pity party who really, really need your help. Competition? Oh, they're the big ones.
What's that card?
This is the Strength card. Notice there is a woman holding a lion's mouth gently shut in a couple's reading. I call this the Yes, Dear card. So don't let the roar of the bigger magazines scare you. You just look at them and say, thank you for sharing. You may think that if you wish, but I'm still over here.
Okay, cool.
Finances for you. That's the card of ultimate truth. This is what you should be doing. What you need to know. Self-growth and self-improvement the whole way through. You'll never know all of it. Don't think you will. Don't try. Final outcome. You're going to be the Empress, honey. This is the benevolent dictator. You want to do brilliantly.
That's so hard. Tears in my eyes. I feel all of that. That's awesome.
And like I said, ain't nobody who reads as fast as I do. Because, you know, I've been reading for almost 50 years. I love the cards. They know me. I know them. And we can pull it out fast.
Well, you know, I really like this. And I like you because I'm a bullet point kind of girl. I don't need all the fluff.
I know. I call that glurpy purple with angels. Hi, my name is Little Dancing Raccoon, and here is my spirit guide, Arctic Bear. Oh, please. I'm from New York. That is not going down.
That's funny. My mom was from the Bronx.
So, you know, our rescue cat is from the Bronx. So, yeah.
That's the rescue cat's name.
Harley Q. Pouncy Bounce. Harley was saved from a crack house.
Oh, wow.
Where his owners only fed him every few days after they got their drug money. threw him against the wall when they didn't like what he was doing, and football kicked him out of the house. Mm. Luckily, one of the rescues was right there, scooped him up, fixed him up, and he now lives up with us upstate New York with the life of his dreams.
Tell me about how you counsel people. Is it all online?
It's one-on-one. It is virtually all online. I have clients worldwide, and trust me, somebody from Rio de Janeiro does not want to come to upstate New York with the sheep and the cows. And like I say, 6 days a week. I do some live shows, but they're only here in the Capital District area of New York, Saratoga, for instance. Mm-hmm. I have a Patreon group if you want to be regular small classes with me. That's how you do it. I have everything from 3-minute burning question readings to find your sentence of passion, brainstorm your business, soul plan readings, which are the jewel in the crown. They take me about 14 hours to prep for, and they're based on the work I did with Robert Schwartz. And you can find all of it at corbymidline.com.
Awesome. I'll put that in the show notes as well.
If you want to find out what I think on a day-to-day basis, I always blog at medium.com. And I specifically have not put it behind the paywall because it is more important for me that I get the words out there than I have $50, $100, $200 a month siphoning in from that. You want to know what I think about the world? You want to know how to learn from me instantaneously? That's where you go.
What did you do to not stay in the victim state? What were your things that really helped you in your life?
When you know that you are not alone, we cannot get through this life on our little onesies. We're just not that smart. You realize that there are beings of some sort bigger than us, is what I'll say. And I tell people, I don't care if you're Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, pagan, believe in Ralph the Wonder Dog, doesn't matter. Just know something up there loves you, wants the best for you, and is willing to work with you. And so I'm here in service. Mm-hmm. That was what this life was about. It is why this life was so hard, so that I would be the teacher, the inspirer, the counselor that I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not a selfish person. I can't be. It's just not in my nature. At the same time, though, I do have boundaries. You know, you're not going to look at me and say, you got that gift from God, so you should be doing readings for free and you're cheating if you don't. No, hello. Mm-hmm. If I was a druid oracle, you wouldn't pay me, but you'd bring me a chicken, a cloak, some wood. Yes, I know I'm funny. I have done stand-up comedy about You Think a Psychic's Life is Easy. But to me, what that does is people drop their shields. Mm-hmm. They let the information in because, no, I am not one of those psychics who thinks her aura don't stink. You know, I take my work seriously, me not so much. So if I'm teaching, if I'm helping people through their lives, if I'm making a difference in the world, that's a good day for me. That's all I need.
Did you always think that way, though?
Hell no.
That's what I'm asking. What helped you to change into knowing your purpose and knowing how to serve? And
relentless self-examination. Trust me, in my 20s and 30s, I was paranoid, bitchy, greedy, but the cancer really flips your head around. Mm-hmm. And I started looking and saying, well, what is my life about if it's not the cancer and I'm not going to die tomorrow?
Right.
And the more I dug deep and pulled out the rot and the roots, happier I was. And the better I was with finding the right people in my world. Mm-hmm. The two first and second husbands, they were when I thought I was only worth what I looked like.
Right.
When I realized I was fine the way I was, it was the inside that was important.
Not until my husband, 8 years ago, till I met him 8 years ago, did I find I could be loved for my personality. I didn't even know that was a thing. I always thought it was what I could offer physically only.
But it's what we're taught. You know, go way back to that self-help book when I was 13.
Right.
When I got the second primary, that was bout number three, my guide said very clearly, look, we need you down there to do the work and you can't get past what you look like. We've got to remove the problem. Second primary turned the danger clock back to zero. But the 44BBB was gone. I could not rely on my looks anymore. It had to be who I was.
Yeah. Weird blessing, huh? Weird that it is a blessing.
Depends on how you look at it.
Exactly. I love it.
As I say in my lectures, well, maybe next time I'll get to keep the rack. But this time they had to come home.
Yeah. Well, I've really, really enjoyed this. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of See Beneath Your Beautiful, hosted by Hara Allison. And thanks for your ratings and reviews. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Stay tuned.